Wow. How many of you have that highlighted as your favorite passage in the Bible? I thought not. It's shocking, isn't it? I would wager it's not even in your top 10. Because to our ears, at least to mine, Jesus does not show his pastoral best in this passage. In response to disturbing news, Jesus is anything but gentle Jesus, meek and mild. The truth is, over and over again, he shows that side, and we highlight the other verses. But it's disturbing for us to read this today, to see Jesus act this way, because news like worshipers massacred, their blood mingled with sacrifices, rings all too true for us. It sounds rather like our news bites, doesn't it? News of violence, atrocities committed by powerful people, making victims of people like us, making victims of people who could be us. So we find it easy to identify with the victims. And we find Jesus' words harsh. We find it easy to identify with those who brought the story to Jesus, who were looking for an explanation, who were looking for comfort and reassurance, because we want that too. We find it too easy to identify with those who want to believe that there has to be a reason for an event like that to happen to those people, so that we need not fear that such things could happen to us. We want to be able to hold on to that gospel of success that we have constructed, to the thought that if we believe the right things, if we live the right way, such things will not happen to us. So in that way, we are not so much different from those disciples that we read about, that Sheila did such a good job of. At the very least, they wanted Jesus to condemn the perpetrators, to condemn Pilate and the oppressors. But Jesus doesn't. He refuses to be distracted even by that awful news. He points instead to the disciples' own attitudes that needed changing. The attitude, beginning with the commonly held belief that if you lived well, God will bless your life and keep you from such tragedies. So those people that were killed must have done something to deserve it. Jesus would have none of that. He even added to their distress to make his point. His point that they needed to change. He affirmed their belief about God, that God was a God of judgment, but challenge them to see the truth about themselves, that it wasn't just those others who needed to be judged, that every person deserves judgment, every one of them, every one of us. And then instead of pointing to others, looking for faults in each of them, looking for explanations, that they needed, we need to look inside ourselves and the community and repent of what is wrong in us. Not just once, not just on Sundays, but every day, continuously, so that we might change. And Jesus reiterates that message. He refers to another news story of the day, also a downer. 18 killed when a tower fell. With both examples, Jesus levels the playing field, pointing to the truth there are no insiders and outsiders of God's love. No one more deserving of God's judgment than another. No one more deserving of disastrous events than another. No one more deserving of God's love than another. In effect, Jesus said, don't judge others on the basis of what happens to them. Don't be content with being less bad than others. Instead, focus on what God is doing in you, what God wants for you, desires of you. You, turn from what keeps you from living God's way and seeing others as God's children. So I wonder what those disciples that day thought of this message of Jesus. I wonder how many turned away from following Jesus that day. I wonder if it still turns us off today. It seems so harsh, so unfeeling. To use a phrase from my past, it seems like Jesus doesn't give a fig. But we know that's not true. So what is true here? To our sensibilities, it seems like it's the wrong attitude, the wrong message. Wrong if you want to grow a congregation. Wrong if you want to comfort people in the wake of tragedy. Wrong if you want to help people to trust God's love is for them. Jesus' sacrifice for them. Wrong for celebrating a Sunday like today. Wrong. Unless it's not. Wrong unless Jesus meant what he said, that we do need to change, to see our need for change. Unless it opens us to hear and understand the parable of the fig tree as it points to God's grace, not just for others, but for us. At least that parable should have been about a fig tree, but it wasn't much of a fig tree, was it? It didn't give a fig either. Not one. It was more of a weed, a big one, taking up space and nutrients in a garden. So the practical owner wanted to cut it down. That makes sense to us on one level, unless we're the fig tree. But the gardener saw something different and volunteered to tend that tree specially. To get his hands dirty, to work manure into the roots of what must have seemed like a hopeless cause. The gardener pleaded for more time to allow the tree to become what it was so supposed to be before giving up on it. More time to allow that tree to bear the fruit that it could, it should, in order to be a fig tree. And it's with this that I realize that it's probably not a parable about a fig tree at all. It's really about the gardener, pointing us beyond trees and gardeners to our lives and God's grace in us, around us, because God tends people like fig trees so that they will bear fruit. God sees hope in the most hopeless of cases, the most hopeless of causes. God not only watches those who believe right and act right, but also those who don't. This parable points us to the truth that we all deserve judgment, that we all stand in need of repentance, not just once, but over and over, not just as individuals, but as communities. It points us to the truth that God's love is for each of us, for all of us, for all. Every one of us needs God's working at our roots from time to time, if not always, over and over every day. And God is willing to do that for us, for each of us, for every one of us, for all of us together, to get God's hands dirty, to help us to become all that we can be. With this parable, Jesus brings the difficult news stories into the light of God's grace and points to the truth about discipleship. Discipleship isn't a fair weather pursuit. Discipleship is about following God in the midst of life, in all of life, not just when things are going well. The truth is difficult times, difficult events should not distract disciples from bearing fruit in their lives. It was the right message for the disciples as they learned to share the gospel with friends and enemies, in good and difficult times. It was the right news for the apostles who could have been paralyzed into inaction by Jesus' death. It was the right news, the right message for the early church who suffered persecution who watch friends die. Through their witness, through their continuing to bear fruit for God in good and difficult times, they have passed on that faith generation after generation for 2,000 years, and we are recipients of that grace, of that gift. So it does seem like the right message for a day like today, for us as individuals and for us as a congregation. There's no denying it. The past couple of years has been very difficult. Like a fig tree, though, it's not enough for a church just to survive, to be content with being all leaf and no fruit. Instead, God calls us to be open to change, to be open to go a way that God wants us to go, even in difficult times. And thanks be to God, instead of hunkering down, by God's grace, we have continued to seek what God intends for our lives and our community, what God can do through us in Calgary and beyond. And we have taken steps to work towards where we believe God wants us to be. The truth is, we continue to be disciples with a mission, just like the disciples that Jesus taught. True, many questions remain unanswered. I wonder how we will need to change. I wonder how we are like the fig tree today or will be tomorrow. What I do know is that our future is in God's hands. That we need to continue to hold our attitudes, our beliefs, and our actions up to God's light in God's grace. Our task is to follow without having all the answers. I love that bumper sticker. Be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. Maybe that should be on our sign outside. Be patient with us. God's not finished with us yet. See, even when it's difficult, we trust that Christ will continue to dig in our roots, to dig that manure deep, to prepare us for the amazing things that are yet to come. So today, as we celebrate our past, as we dedicate our present, as we take steps towards the future God has in store for each of us, for our families, for our congregation, let us continue to respond to God, to change in response to God, so that we might bear fruit. The fruit may look like supporting the homeless in projects like the Clare Building, listening for the anxieties of others, bringing casseroles, visiting the sick, caring for children, or walking together to raise money for others. Our fruit may look like walking together in grief, building houses, partnerships south of Fish Creek. It may look like each of us following where we are led. It may look like all of us together working to be together, united in God's love, so that we show the truth of God's presence in Calgary and beyond. The truth is, in good times and difficult, together and individually, that our fruit will look like sharing the gospel in word and action, reaching out to others, not because they deserve it, but because God asks us to do it. To the one who loved us enough to die for us, be all glory and honor now and always. Amen.